Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Pride of Chicago is Danny Burke. Will Bowers making an appearance. Great to be with you. We are loaded up. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer. 15 minutes. We will dive into, the Los Angeles Rams headed back to the Super Bowl. Ndamukong Suh's performance. We'll get Jay's thoughts on his teammate, Ndamukong Suh. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie in 1 hour. And Coach McBride is, he's close with Bill Belichick. So we'll figure out the masterpiece that is Mr. Belichick and what they did to Kansas City. Greg Smith will join us as a huge recruiting get. Maybe the worst kept secret. Well, it was a great secret by Noah Pola Gates, but a lot of Nebraska fans felt good that he was in, and in fact, he was since December, but nevertheless, Nebraska getting a monster part of the secondary added for 2019 and Noah Pola Gates. Greg Smith will tell us where Coach Frost and company are today. You can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free 1-800-825-5865. Follow us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5, at Hail Varsity. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. That's what's on the docket. We'll get into Nebraska and Rutgers. That tips off at 7 o'clock tonight. It is back to one of these can't-lose games for Nebraska basketball. Must win? Well, it's a can't-lose. So we'll get into that and some thoughts from Miles on maybe what you learned from Sparty and moving forward. More commentary yesterday by Miles just about that shot selection. So what do you remember most about yesterday? I hope that you, as a football fan, got the 2 to 9:30 treatment. I hope you had your favorite beverage. I hope you had your bowl of pretzels. I hope you had a burger. I hope you ate well, but I hope you sat and watched an incredible finish to the postseason, getting you set for the stage of Super Bowl 53. From 2 o'clock to 9:30 last night, my giant backside was in the Lazy Boy, and I was watching with Junior. We were watching the Saints and Rams, that drama unfold, and you watch the Pride of Pius drill a game tire and a game winner in Greg Zuerlein. That was great. It was great to watch Sue tee off and be magical on that stage yet again. 5 or 6 tackles, 1.5 sacks. He did everything but sell popcorn, tried to dislocate Alvin Kamara's shoulder as he was chipping that guy out of the backfield. Sue is incredible, and I love watching him play at that level. Zach Taylor's protege, Jared Goff, man, he got going and made some big plays. That was incredible. The Brady and Mahomes duel was incredible. New England playing physical ball. Rex Burkhead, sexy Rexy. Man, he was just bonkers in that fourth quarter and in overtime, running hard, making big plays. And I know there's a lot of you out there that hate New England, but you got to appreciate their greatness. What do you think of the teams that survived their way to the Super Bowl yesterday in overtime fashion? On the road, by the way, in the NFL, in two of the most hostile, loud places in the world to play? Or is your mind on the controversy part? Is it on the missed calls, the wrong calls, the replay? Cleve Blakeman had his own miniseries, and it wasn't his fault, in the fourth quarter and into overtime with challenges and reviews against Kansas City. It's clear that homeboy for L.A. was a little early on the coverage out of the backfield, and we'll hear from Sean Payton here in a second. But what do you think of the games? They were great, the overtime, or can you separate the result, or do you dwell on the controversy? 466-3776. The overtime rules itself, we can get into that because you need to keep evolving as a league with how things go. And is there a better way to do it when it's free football? I have been able to separate from the controversy. Now, maybe it's because I didn't have a dog in the fight. Maybe it's because I just wanted to see great players make great plays. But the New Orleans-LA game was decided by the referees. In all intents and purposes, barring a bobbled snap by Drew Brees or a fumble by Ingram or an interception. I mean, it's just things shake out. And when you don't take advantage or you have some kind of funky play calling, it's not to excuse a absolutely missed pass interference call, but New Orleans could have, should have, would have had that thing put away. I credit the Rams for hanging tough and coming back. They were down 13. I look at New England. I look at the interception that Brady threw that could have made it a 21-zip spot, okay? Or, it would have been 21-7. I'm getting my sequences messed up. But the interception in the end zone really changed the momentum and tenor of that game. It allowed Kansas City to kind of take a breath and stay in it. And the way New England had the game plan set up in the first half, they were going to jump out and then hang on for dear life. That's what happened. They actually took the lead, and then Brady was Brady. Got a little help with the Phantom roughing the passer. But I love seeing Gronk step up in big moments. Edelman was phenomenal. You had Karma come into play with the muffed punt or the non-muffed punt, and then the interception three plays later. So it wasn't as gruesome officiating-wise in Kansas City. I mean, that was an automatic first down. That was big. Don't get me wrong. But for the most part, it wasn't as egregious as what happened down in New Orleans. Here's what I believe. I believe the NFL isn't going to cry about the number two TV market and New England going to the Super Bowl. Do they have a dog in the fight? They're not supposed to. They want the second market where they force two football teams to – they didn't force them. But ironically enough, you have two teams in L.A. to choose from now, the number two TV market out there. They're not sad about it. They're not sad about it. And on that stage, at that level, you can't have that big of a botched call. You just can't. You can't let it happen. So you can put your tinfoil hat on. Is the fix in? No, I'm not going that far. But the NFL's not upset that the Rams and McVay, the next, like Belichick, but on the other side of the football at this age, they've got to regenerate, don't they? Belichick's going to eventually retire. Brady's eventually going to retire. You've got Mahomes in Kansas City on one side of the ledger. Mahomes is fantastic. You hope he gets to that stage someday. Didn't happen for Marino after his second year. Never went back to a conference championship game or didn't win one to get to another Super Bowl is what I'm saying. But McVay's kind of on deck to be the next it coach in the league. And he's in a Super Bowl already. So the NFL will take the criticism and arrows today. They'll punish who they need to punish in the New Orleans game. They'll find who they need to find wearing the stripes with the Kansas City game. They're going to protect quarterbacks. That's not new. It's been going on for 3 years, mainly this year at a super high level where you look at a quarterback cross-eyed. Here's a flag. NFL's okay with this, and they'll take the bad PR hit because people are still talking. That's how I feel about it. Danny Burke, jump in here. Your thoughts, what sticks with you most about yesterday? The insane games? We'll get to the gambling side in our Fact Check Monday at 5:40. But what sticks out to you most about yesterday? The fact that you had 7.5 hours of really compelling football, or the fact that the Zebras screwed up a couple big calls?
I mean, for me, it was that the Zebras screwed up the big calls, but that's because I was on both sides of the losing game. So
it had a bottom line impact on your back pocket.
Yeah, just a little bit, to say the least. But no, the Chiefs and Patriots game, though, that one it was a little bit more enjoyable for me because that one you were just sitting back and actually watching greatness, the old and the new generations on both sides of the ball. The Saints just flat out got screwed. I mean, it's as simple as that. But I know you can't blame it all on that call because the Saints just played a crappy game. Let's be honest. Their red zone inefficiency was ridiculous. Some of that play calling, Taysom Hill being in the game on, what was it, fourth and goal, third and goal a couple of times. If you're Drew Brees, I mean, you got to be a little bit ticked off about that. Yeah, I know they've had success with Taysom Hill.
Don't get too cute, for God's sake. Just do your thing. It's Drew Brees.
Yeah, and it's the NFC Championship. You can't risk that. I don't like, they have good play calls with the kid, but still, I trust Drew Brees on that completely way
Taysom
more.
Taysom Hill's older than Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But as for that call, yeah, I mean, that was arguably the worst non-call of all time in any sports as long as I've been alive that I can recall. And the guy who hit it, he said, hell yeah, that was a pass interference. I knew it. Everyone knew it. So, and I did see Michael Thomas is trying to get the refs or the Roger Goodell to do everything because there is the rule, the loophole, where if it's that bad of a call that Roger Goodell can get these teams back on the field.
He can overrule it.
Yeah.
He's the NFL czar. He was in Kansas City, mind you, with some white wine, I think, in Arrowhead's club level. But here is Nichols, Roby, Coleman, post-game. This is all right.
I ain't played the ball. If I would have played the ball, then it would have been a different story. But since I just went straight to him, and when I seen his hands go up and I hit him, I just heard the crowd go crazy, and I was like, oh, this is a flag. And then I got up, he said incomplete. I was like, oh.
So what do you think?
And then the ref said, like, a low-key was a tip. Like, it was, like, tip. So I was just like, okay, cool. Right.
So what do you say to all those Saints fans who said that flag should have been called? If it was, they could have run out the clock.
Hey, Saints fans, I'm sorry, but it is what it is. You heard what the ref said. The ref said it was incomplete. Respect the call.
Respect the call. Right now, all of New Orleans is telling Roby Coleman he's number one. So you look at it at its side, and at real time, it was early, but the side judge didn't throw the flag. The back judge didn't throw the flag. They all kind of looked at each other in this moment going, hey, you know, if we throw the flag, the game is over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, real time, real speed, it was a penalty, but when you slow it down, it is undoubtedly a penalty. This sounds crazy, but like from an uncatchable standpoint, where the ball bounced and when the hit happened, there was no way that it looked like could he have got you, there's like a glimmer.
He could have got some fingertips on it.
I'm not sticking up for the rest. I'm just saying here's one explanation.
Sure.
And it's a bad explanation, but here's one explanation that okay, maybe it was not catchable. Or maybe it was tipped. If it's tipped, you can do whatever the hell you want. And it's convenient to go to that card if you're the officials.
The thing
is, it wasn't tipped.
It might have not been that catchable, but the hit was just so egregious still got to make that call.
And what are you doing? What are you doing as a corner? I mean, Gronk's fade route down the sideline, the first time you thought New England went up and put this thing to bed, they didn't, to make it 24-21. The fade route with Barry getting a piggyback ride by Gronk with no flag at all. I mean, it's so inconsistent.
It really is.
So if you're Roby Coleman and you're just like screwed, you're late out of your break, so you're just going to go light up the ball, the running back, praying that they just kind of say, eh, screw it, we're not going to throw a flag this time. The one time out of 100 they don't, you got away with it. Because you do have inconsistency. Your quarterbacks are in a protective bubble first, okay? There was 85 helmet-to-helmets, to be honest with you, in both games yesterday. And then you have physical assault going on between linebackers and corners and wide receivers. I mean, the amount of clutching and grabbing and twisting and turning, it's unreal. And I get that you can jam them and stay with them, but everybody holds and grapples and grasps, and I'm surprised there's not 15 more dislocated shoulders. As many arm tugs as going on he was beat. He was late to it. So I have no idea where the football's at. Let's just lay this guy out, hoping that it works out, and it did for the Rams. Am I too conspiracy theorist here? That the NFL's not upset that the number two TV market with the hottest young coach and Jared Goff and Ndamukong Suh, you've got star power. Not that Breeze isn't awesome, not that New Orleans isn't cool, okay? But you've got the Rams. You've got the next new shiny thing here, and they're in the Super Bowl against Darth Vader and company.
This is the last matchup I wanted to see, though, to be honest.
Because you hate New England, you're tired of New England.
like, I respect New England, but I just would, like, quarterback-wise matchup, I think, like, Mahomes and Breeze would have been fine. That would have been fun. And then just, like, the OGs, Brady and Breeze, also would have been good.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I just didn't want the two underdogs to do it. I don't know. This was just my least favorable matchup.
Okay, that's
But fine. Also, I got to ask you this. Are you a man now that you believe, because of the blown call, that, like, the Rams just kind of, like, karma-wise, they're not going to win the Super Bowl now? Like, does that cross your mind? Because it definitely crosses mine.
Here's what I want to see. All right, and this is going to be so good a week from Sunday. I want to see Sue and Brady meet in that dark alley. I want to see Ndamukong Suh reenact his Texas Big 12 championship game on the Super Bowl stage where he is the best player in the league. Aaron Donald's phenomenal. Drew Brees is great. Tom Brady's going after a sixth Super Bowl. This is his ninth trip to the Super Bowl. That's incredible. I want to see Ndamukong Suh take over because I love watching that guy play as a Nebraska fan. That's kind of where I'm all in. We'll hear from Sean Payton. We'll hear more about Ndamukong Suh's big Sunday from his teammate Jay Moore. And we'll get NFL Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore's take on what happened yesterday. Maybe you're penaltied out, I get it, but what are you thinking about most? The overtime drama or the officiating? Hail Varsity continues.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
He's Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
He is back. It is Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer. Great to be with him on a Monday at Jay Moore 44. Great to have you in on Hail Varsity Radio. Jay Bird, what's the good news, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. Just braving this cold weather for several more days, and we're gonna head south for a wedding in Cancun for my wife's brother. And so, you know, we got to go. You know, he's got to go to a wedding in Mexico, so in Cancun. So getting ready to wrap some stuff up for us a week, and then leave on Wednesday for some warmer weather. Looking forward to it.
Jay takes Cancun. I believe it's a movie. good for you. Give everybody my best and tell them it's okay. The invitation never should have been sent.
Get lost in the mail.
Right, and it's more about the Cancun part than your family, and I'm sure they're great people. Listen, I need to get you one-on-one right now as a guy who played in the NFL for 5 years. Have you ever been part of anything close to as controversial a Sunday as we saw yesterday? And I'm skipping over how awesome the games were. They were overtime, excellent football. We'll get to that in a minute, I promise. But the narrative has been, what the hell, about the officiating?
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't. Watching that game, you know, watching the Saints-Rams game, and, you know, it's 3rd and 10, they kind of throw that route up the sideline there. And initially, I'm like, oh, man, that was early. And then you're like, you know, you don't see any flags. You're like, what? That's weird. So you kind of watch it. Maybe you're thinking that you had, you know, maybe a bad angle. You have, you know, referees, and especially in this time of year, in this part of the game, kind of the benefit of the doubt, because, you know, these are the two best crews that NFL has. And you're like, yep, that was for sure early. And the funny thing is that the guy wasn't, you know, would have seen the ball. He probably could have returned it for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just weird. I mean, obviously that was bad. I mean, who knows? You know, obviously the Saints had plenty of opportunity, especially early in the game, where they had the ball inside their own 20 and only walked out with 3 points numerous times. So who knows if they're able to get, get 7 there. But the thing they do there is definitely eat some more time off the clock and give them less time to go down, either tie with a field goal or have to score a touchdown to try to have to win it. But that was just a weird, weird sequence right there. I mean, that's hard to swallow. You almost feel sick for. Obviously, I'm happy, super happy. I wanted the Rams to win. I'm happy for Sue and obviously for Zach and making it there and see, you know, a guy like A kid from Nebraska and Zerline made two huge clutch field goals. But, yeah, it's unfortunate. He saw kind of a, the false rough in the passer against Brady there late in the game. They're able to get points off of that. So there's some strange calls. I mean, obviously, and when it happens at this time of the week or this time of year, you know, it's the focus is greater. Those are two bad calls, and with by far the one in the Saints game that was brutal. It was you know, but things happen. Saw the cookie crumbles, and the Rams are going to the Super Bowl, and they're going to play the Patriots once again. The Patriots are in the Super Bowl once again. So it's gonna be a great matchup here in a couple weeks.
No, and I mean, I wanted the Rams to go as well for Zach, for Sue, for Zerline. I mean, just the local side of it, I'm really excited about. I got no hate towards the Saints. Sean Payton, Drew Brees, stand-up people. Kamara's incredible to watch. The Saints were great all year. I mean, they're just fantastic. That sideline route with the destruction of the would-be wide receiver, inexcusable. It can't happen. But I thought New Orleans play calling in the red zone was garbage all game. And you hit on it, the fact that they didn't walk out with as many points. And for Zerline to blast the tire and the winner from 57, by the way, that was incredible. I want to focus on Sue for a minute. And Sue's the type of guy, like, you know, he built up his junior year at Nebraska and then took over, right? I mean, we're talking the Colorado game. We're talking the game against Clemson. He was really good, like All-American level. But then he went, like, to Heisman level his senior year. And, I mean, you think about how he dominated the Missouri game, what he did against Oklahoma, and again, his coming out party against Texas. When the lights are on, I mean, when the stage is at its peak, that guy flips the switch and is elite. And I know I've said that, and it's obvious, but for him to do what he did against the run, against that Saints offensive line, for him to get after the quarterback like he did, and then for him to be able to spy and also chip Kamara like he did, at the age of 32, 9 years in, I mean, are you surprised? I mean, you played with him. You saw what type of talent needed to be harnessed. He was the absolute difference maker, and I can't wait to see him against New England.
Yeah, no, not surprised at all. I mean, he's a once-a-generation type player. I mean, he's with his size, his strength, his athletic ability, how he can move. He's a freak of nature. I mean, him and so they're Donald. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, because Sue is so much bigger than Aaron.
I mean, Sue's like 315, right? At least.
Right. Yeah, he's taller too. The thing about Sue is you can play him anywhere. You play him at a five, you can play him a three technique, you can play him at a zero, a shade, a one, a two, a four, all across the line. He's gonna dominate. He's gonna require the most attention from the offensive line. He doesn't get as much credit as he probably should because of some view him as a dirty player for some of the things he did when he did Detroit, and then he goes to Miami on this huge deal and doesn't really do a ton, and it really wasn't part of any great Miami teams. But the guy took his time and found his home, his next home. Where it's crazy the fact that he's in his ninth year, and he's still able to. I mean. He still looks like he's, in his second, third, fourth year. He looks that fresh. He looks that good out there. He looks that strong. But the guy's smart. He obviously wants to go out in a bang. And he's obviously going to do that, whether they're going to win the Super Bowl or not. He made the right decision to go with the Rams, but definitely not surprised at all with him and what he has. I don't know what his future is, what his plan is. The Rams win the Super Bowl. I could see him saying, I'm good. I could see him saying, I've done enough. Mm-hmm. And let's go capitalize on my business ventures. But, you know, the guy could probably play for 15 years and be just fine because he's just that good. He's that strong. You know, he just never seems to be dinged up or banged up. I know he has bumps and bruises, but he's just such a physical freak and strong. He doesn't really get any major injuries, you know, so he could play a long, long time. But it'll be interesting to see if they end up winning this thing, what his plans are going to be, you know, next year or 2 years down the road. I could maybe see him saying, you know what, I've got my Super Bowl, and I'm going to go, you know, make millions of dollars, you know, somewhere else in my businesses.
He's a guy, two things about him, and I'm not calling him part-time at all, but I think he's done a pretty good job of pacing himself throughout his career. I mean, his rookie year was dominant, like all-pro first team with his sack numbers. But this is the first time in his career he's had any help. Miami didn't have help. Detroit, he had Fairley, and then Fairley had to retire 2 years in. And Schwartz was gone, who he loved. So I think Sue's kind of just paced himself, and when he needs to, man, he can summon that greatness. Now, you don't get 9 years looking like he's still 25 if he's, this is the wrong way to put it, but going hard every down. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I mean.
Am I off with that assessment?
Well, I think he is so talented, it may look like, you know, sometimes he's not going, you know, balls to the wall.
Sure.
I think he's just that smooth and just that athletic. I really do. I mean, he's just, you know, he's smart though too. Like he understands the situation. He's a smart. He knows the game of football. So he knows, you know, if I am, you know, getting double teamed and the play is going away from me, you know, sometimes, you know, you're probably not, you know, ever going to make that play. Yeah, he's still chasing, you know, away from the ball and taking an angle just in case. But you know, he's not. And you just know. I mean, you've done this. If you play the game long enough, especially in the D line, you're just sometimes you know you got to take one for the team, or B, you're just like, you know what, I just got to make sure I take care of my position here, my gap, and then you know I hope the other 10 guys are going to go make the play.
Sure.
But I honestly think he's so smooth and athletic and just so strong that he kind of looks like he's chilling out there sometimes because he just can't. I mean, those offensive linemen are working their tails off, and he's kind of looks like he's just hanging out. Because he's just that good. I mean, that's no BS. I mean, the guy is that good and physically talented that he probably could chill half the time and be okay. Mm-hmm. But he's still working, obviously. But the man he has all the gifts given to him to be one of the best D linemen ever to play the game.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking about Ndamukong Suh at Jay Moore 44. Jay, about 90 seconds here, a little less than. Noah Pola-Gates pulls the trigger. He's in. Very talented safety, could play corner, return guy potentially. Huge get for Frost and company. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of knew he was leaning this way, and obviously he signed early but kept it silent so he could announce the Polynesian game. But, you know, big-time get. You get three really good players out of the state of Arizona with him, Ty Robinson, and Buddha. Yeah, so you know you get those guys. I mean, that's an area that's been really really well to Nebraska, the state of Arizona. But you go down there and you beat out USC, you beat Alabama, you beat a lot of top tier programs for these players. I mean, it's a good get. Nebraska is thin the secondary. He's potentially a guy who could come in and play early in his career. But, you know, you get guys that play in the All-American games, and that's good. I mean, that just boosts the rankings up and everything, and just a great player. So, obviously, super happy. Kind of knew he was coming here, but you always kind of have that little doubt, like, oh, maybe not. Maybe, you know, USC could sneak in there, but obviously with him signing, this thing has been done for, you know, a month now. So it's good. Happy for that. And hopefully they can close out this month and then up until signing day and get maybe 3 to 4 more guys signed in, and it can help contribute down the road.
Jay Bird, it's great to get caught up with you. Enjoy Cancun, my friend, and thanks for the time.
Yeah, you got it, Smitty.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Obviously, it's a disappointing way to lose a game. Frustrating, you know, just getting off the phone with the league office. They blew the call, and that call puts it first and 10 We're on an E3 plays. It's a game-changing call.
So is he got immunity from being fined by the NFL? If you blow up, botch a call that horribly, does he have immunity? I'm wondering. Great to have you back on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, and Will Bauer is sitting in. It's good to see him again. So we spent a lot of time here the last 40 minutes on the NFL. Do you remember the plays made or the plays missed from yesterday? You can chime in on that, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Do you know any Chiefs fans? Are you one? And are you gut-wrenched? This has been pretty good on social media. And you had a national columnist ask, what's your most gut-wrenching loss? And I've seen the 86 Oklahoma game. I remember the 94 Orange Bowl. Those are two. And then the 84 Orange Bowl. Those are your boom, boom, boom gospel as Husker fans. All right? With football. Two national championship in Texas in 2009. I mean, those are your four, right? That's the golden sombrero of kicks to the groin as a Nebraska fan. We won't ask Danny Burke his most painful loss because it's still fresh. The double doink. It's not a drink or a club. It's the life and times of Chicago postseason. Let's talk Nebraska. Speaking of postseason, you want to take a real giant pee on Nebraska's postseason hope? You got to Piscataway tonight and lose. Are you worried as a Nebraska fan? Husker basketball against Rutgers, tip off at 7 o'clock. And this is a fair question. Miles spent some time with the media yesterday. How is he breaking the schedule down? Yes, it's one game at a time. But it's okay. You have different parts of this marathon, right? I've never run a marathon, but if I did, you would break it down into the hilly parts, the parts that are pretty even. The terrain's a little different. I mean, you can get into it several different ways, but the reality is you have your different sections. You have your non-conference. You have your road games. You have your true road games, and then you have your games that are at venues like the Sprint Center, right? And then you have your home games. Then you have your quad ones and quad twos and your top 50s. I mean, all of it makes a case for Nebraska. How does he look at the stretch? How does he look at the schedule for Nebraska? And again, this is a don't lose, can't lose type situation. This is a, you don't even have to play well, but just find a way to get a win. And this is what's the reality about tonight with Nebraska and Rutgers. All right. Does Nebraska continue bad decision making? Does Nebraska fix their shot selection problem? This is on the heels of an emotional, gut-wrenching loss. We talked about Chiefs fans and they're still crying, and I get it, man. That would suck to be a fan of the Chiefs and have it go down like that as well as you played. We documented Nebraska losses that you still think about and still grit your teeth about.
I mean, that offsides was killer.
Well, don't line up offsides, yeah, for God's sake.
Do you put that as the second? No, top three, because it would be, I think, would be the double doink, the hit, and then the offsides. Those are the three most crucial plays in the playoffs this year.
Not in that order
particularly.
Well, and I would argue that Greg Zuerlein's bomb from 57 was pretty crucial.
Yeah, that was damn impressive. I mean, but heartbreaking-wise, those are the top three.
That's Greg the leg.
I tweeted, I was like, must be nice to have a reliable kicker. I wonder what that's
like.
No,
I saw that, and I just left that one just live. Tonight's a dangerous game for Nebraska, and do they pick themselves up emotionally? right? Here is Tim Miles, the breakdown of the stretch.
I try not to look at stretches because, you know, you start picking winners and losers, I think you're doing it wrong. So, honestly, I had to, you know, ask Seamus where we're going next week, like, you know, and then, you know, we're home. Oh, great, you know, so... I think when you look at it, if you start looking at stretches like, hey, we need to win four of the next five, we're not at a point for that. There is a point in time when you say, hey, you know what, guys, it's that time. There's not an infinite number of games. There's four games left in the year. We need to make hay. But we're not there. I don't think you can do that, especially in a 20-game schedule. I mean, we're still just, you know, I mean, getting in the middle of it. It's hard to believe it's already the third week of January.
So just – you got to do it, man. You got to micromanage. You got to shrink it down. And you got to go game by game. I think Nebraska has shown the ability to handle emotional ups and downs. They've been beaten by better teams this season. But Nebraska has not helped themselves out in their losses this year. They've become impulsive and impatient. They haven't played their smartest basketball. They have helped Texas Tech. They have helped Minnesota. They've helped Maryland. They helped Michigan State. Okay? Do they help Rutgers tonight? And they can't. They shouldn't. What's Nebraska at right now? How are they? How are they positioned for the postseason? You're seeing them as a 5 or a 6 seed. They go from 5 or 6 seed and game under 500 in conference play to 2 under .500 and now maybe a bubble team if they don't get it handled tonight against an awful defensive team, against an awful offensive team without their top score, a team that's 1-6 in the league. And listen, funkiness can happen. Penn State almost whacked Minnesota on the road over the weekend. Wisconsin grew a pair and held Michigan to 52. I mean, it is risky every time you suit up home or away in the Big Ten, because the bottom feeders are still bad, but they can be good once in a while. And you're going from playing the best to playing the worst in a non-energized morgue. That's what is the reality tonight. Is your senior leadership going to come out and be energetic? Last time they were playing in front of somebody that wasn't super energetic was Iowa. Iowa's a good offensive team. Rutgers is not. We'll get to our predictions later on. Here is Tim Miles on where Nebraska sits right now with their season.
I think we're just okay. Yeah, I thought we picked up one. You know, I went in at Indiana, but you know, we need to make some plays at home too against some of these big schools coming in.
He's right. You got Indiana. You played Michigan State well. You've got your non-conference portfolio. You don't want to set fire to it falling at Rutgers. Ohio State is reeling, but they're still respectable top 50 Saturday. Whiskey's coming to town. It's in front of you. We'll wind down hour one. Thanks for spending time with Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Real quick, buckle up. Something's got to stop that motion, and airbags aren't enough. Do you want it to be the windshield or seatbelt? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your body needs to slow down. Buckle up, click it, or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety. Charlie McBride's 10 minutes away. We say hi to Moose. Moose, you got your big red face paint on. You worried about Rutgers?
I'm telling myself I'm not worried about Rutgers, Schmitty.
Mm-hmm. Keep telling yourself that.
I will. And face paint isn't on yet, but I got to get home for that. So, mm-hmm. Here's what I want to see. Here's what I'm expecting to see. Intense defense, a season high in steals, Nebraska ball. I have to make sure and use that term. I've got a couple of schmoes telling me that's a desperate attempt to sound relevant by using the term Nebraska ball.
I love saying it. It's its own special experience.
Yeah, they're like, where did that even come from? I'm like, well, it's amazing. It's Nebraska which is where we are, mm-hmm. and basketball, which is what they play, and you combine the two.
Mm-hmm.
Husker's somewhere in the low 70s. Rutgers not getting out of the 50s.
That'd work out. 71-59 road win, I'll take it.
That's what I'm looking at. Somewhere in the 12 to 16 point range. And just play with the intensity like you care. You're seniors. You're supposed to be setting the example for the younger guys. And you got, like you said, everything in front of you.
Absolutely. Moose, appreciate it, man. Appreciate you for giving us a shot. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Charlie McBride's coming up. So we need to bring Danny Burke in because his Bulls just made a splash move. And we usually don't get into the NBA till it matters, like April. But, hey, Carmelo's there to bring down your three-point percentage, bro. You happy?
I mean, at this point, I just don't even know if I care. I mean, if it's going to hurt us tanking and attempting to get Zion, then I'll be pissed. But, yeah, I don't know. I was telling you, this is like 8 years too late. Mm. I mean, they had the chance before he went to the Knicks, and they didn't get him. And I just don't know. What's the point of getting Carmelo? What is the point to it?
What's your roster look like right now?
Bunch of young guys. The only studs are Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen,
our two young guys. I would be very hesitant to call LaVine a stud. He can dunk.
Yeah, oh, yeah. LaVine is a stud. I think he's...
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, he's like... I think he's on the bench for the All-Star game. Like, he's a backup.
Is his game good?
Yeah.
Or is it just dunks?
He's been killing it, dude. No, he's got a shot now, too.
Okay, because I remember LaVine, why he was so easy to trade for Minnesota's because he didn't have game.
He had the torn ACL, and that was like his first or second year, and he like won the slam dunk contest. Now he's got an all-around game. They gave him like a max deal this past summer.
Okay, and so you're okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. LaVine is doing fine. He's just on a crappy team, obviously. Lauri's our rookie. This is his second year, and he's dominating still. He missed like the beginning of the season. And Chris Dunn's been doing okay at point guard, but yeah, I mean, we just need to tank to keep getting those draft picks. Getting Carmelo, there's no reason. It's like the same thing the Bulls did when they got Dwayne Wade 2-3 years ago. It's just to sell tickets, and same with getting Rajon Rondo. We actually made the playoffs, but still, it's just to sell tickets. Our front office is disastrous. But what are you going to do?
No, I mean, they are the folks that decided to take a hammer and chisel to MJ and Phil and Scotty when MJ probably had one more title in him. That's just me being greedy. Didn't do it. Charlie McBride is next. Mondays with Charlie, part of Black Shirt Monday. Greg Smith on Noah Paula Gates next hour. Great to have you in on this Martin Luther King Day. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmidt_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmidt.
Rich Evian, it's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, right of Chicago, the north side, is Danny Burke. And Will Bauer is sitting in as well. We say hi to the Pride of South Chicago. Great defensive coordinator, assistant coach, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Coach, how we doing?
Good. A little cold, but it's no wind. That's what counts.
See, you got the no wind clause on your Monday. Good for you. We are going to get more winter weather advisory garbage tonight through tomorrow morning, and I'll make sure it doesn't come your way because I have that type of power, of course. So,
yeah, that's right. It was only 16 below here this morning.
Wow. There's no wind, though. You can deal with
it. No wind. No, that's right. No wind, and I went out in my flip-flops. Took the garbage out.
Look at you, man. You're still tough. I love it. I love it. Coach,
everything was plowed that I walked on.
Okay, well, you know what? Just lie to me and say, yeah, you know, big deal.
Yeah, right.
What'd you think? Did you get a chance to watch 8 hours of football yesterday?
I did watch 8 hours. Well, you know, I took a break here and there and probably missed a series here and there.
Sure.
But most of the good stuff. You know, I saw both good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's start with the Zebras, the officials. And you've been on both sides of it as far as you've been a coach in big games where the officiating's been tremendous, right? It didn't interfere with the game. And you've been on the other side of it where there's just some really awful calls. And I'm thinking of Penn State. I'm thinking of Florida State. I mean, those are the two that kind of come to mind. I kind of think you guys got screwed around down in Austin in 1999 as well. But, I mean, so you've seen both sides of it. What's your reaction to that as a guy who's coached as long as you have and you know coaches in the NFL? Are you surprised? There was a no call, defensive back to running back in the flat, as egregious as that was. There was a no call down in New Orleans.
Well, you know, in reality, when you listen to the guy that did it talk, he's told, don't just whatever you do, don't let him score. I mean, even you have to take a penalty.
Right, right.
And I think that's where he was at. I mean, he just overdid it. And you know, I what scares me a little bit is as years go on, I hear one crew say, let them play. And what's it mean? How far do you go when you let them play? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you had a penalty on the quarterback. He didn't even hit the guy.
Right. And
why?
With Brady.
Because the official was behind him. He mm-hmm. couldn't. All he could see was the guy's arm coming through over the top of the shoulder, and he just called what he thought. Mm-hmm. See, that's a bad thing. You call what you thought you see, and you didn't see the right thing, you can hurt somebody. I mean, when you get playing at this level and you're playing for the Super Bowl, you can't afford to make those kind of mistakes. And there were other ones, too. They were on both sides, you know, and in both games. But, you know, sometimes the last one that you saw, of course, probably cost them a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And that's the shame about the whole thing. As far as we're concerned, I got a little wired, and so I called a couple of them over, and I stood there. I didn't say anything for a minute, and you know, they both said, well, you know, you have something you want to say. I said, yeah, what kind of beer do you guys drink after you get done here? They both looked at me and started laughing and walked off. That's about what you can say to them, you know, because it's whatever's happened. I mean, it's not going to change.
Well, so you did that to, what was your reasoning? Just at least verb. That was fun. That was funny. That was good.
You know, it was just a matter of you know, we're not, what am I going to do to change something? What is Tom going to do? Nothing. You can yell and scream and do everything is you know, all you want. And, you know, people would say, well, how many times did they write you up in the Big 8 and the Big 12? Well, they never did. Yeah. You know, usually if you do something with officials, you know, something, me might call them funny names or something, and, you know, they'll report it, and then they'll write you up, and the conference will write you a little note that says, you know, so, but I've never got one of those. I know a bunch of people that have. but and most of them weren't coaches. They were like trainers and weight coaches and stuff like that. You know, they go off on the sideline and you don't realize that what they're doing sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that the one thing is I think you'll find out a lot of coaches. Andy Reid's a good one to look at because he's not you'll see if he's, but he isn't screaming and jumping up and down, and he just talks to him, and you know, he just doesn't want to have a heart attack at his age,
right?
And so, you know, I think the more you can maybe settle with them, the more time they'll have to explain to you, you know, what the reasoning is, instead of just standing there yelling and yelling and yelling and not even giving them a chance, because they'll just stand there and listen to you, you know. And, you know, the shame about the whole thing is probably it turned away a lot of people from wanting to be an official.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
the young
fair.
Guys that are starting out, that's the shame about the whole thing, too, because, you know, I turned on the TV this morning, and that's all they could talk about, and I turned it off. I said, you know, you hear it once or twice, that's good enough, but now everybody in the world's got a theory, and mm-hmm. You know, everybody knows they got hosed, and the thing was is that, you know, there's nothing that you could do about it. Now, what happens to the official on the other side? I don't know how they work, mm-hmm. but at times we were able to furlough what we called furlough people.
Sure.
And that means we don't want that guy on the game, you know, anymore.
Sure.
And then Joe Paterno had his own little group because he was independent. And so when they had his officials, they had all relatives of ex-players, fathers and uncles and stuff like that. He had a little crew that took care of him. And if you go back, he took care of Alabama the next week, too. They did the same thing to them. And those are the kind of things that worry you, you know. And the first thing I thought about is, boy, that guy's probably made a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
you know, with this gambling going on now. How do you check that out? I mean, you just don't know. And, you know, I would say that's not the case, but, you know, it's just, you know, sometimes it's just one of those things where the official does make a mistake and everybody knows it.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. That Paterno crew frightens me when I think about it because...
Yeah.
You've hinted at that game in 82 before just mm-hmm. being a nightmare. And I mean, I've seen footage of it. You lived it. And I remember seeing yeah. Coach Osborne's face. I mean, just that look in his eye, like, you know how competitive he is and
yeah.
that look in his eye and how bad you felt for the kids. Cause you guys
yeah.
played a great game.
Yeah. I mean, it one of those things is, you know, and that got publicized.
Oh,
I mean, that they went and found out what the deal was, and I think they probably didn't blow it up as much as they probably could have, but I think they had that crew for I guess it was the big game crew, mm-hmm. you know, and other than that, I don't know what they used for officials because at that time they were an independent school.
It was called Joe's Crew. That's what it was called.
Yeah, Joe's relatives.
That's messed up. Charlie McBride's with us. Coach, you know Bill Belichick very, very well. You knew his father.
Yeah.
And spend a minute here or so on just what he's doing. I mean, Brady's great. It's cool that Burkhead's going to a Super Bowl. And Tom Brady made some insane throws. I know that roughing the passer was kind of a joke, but New England played physical ball. Kansas City's really, really talented, and you hope they get an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl as good as Mahomes is. But with Belichick, just his planning and what he's been able to do in the NFL, I mean, can you put into words how great the guy's been?
Well, let's put it this way. The guys on his team right now probably aren't five stars.
Right.
There's probably three and maybe some two stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The problem with what he does, he will not take a person that is not very smart.
Mm.
You have to really be, you know, and there's been some dumb calls that they've made. You know, one during the game I thought, you got to be kidding me. It was, you know, it was like an illegal procedure or it was something crazy. But it wasn't anything, but you know, when you really realize it and you talk to people that have worked for him
mm-hmm.
or with him, and it's the same thing. They're really looking at character and they're really looking hard at your ability to pick up stuff fast. And that's what they do. And they don't make a lot of mistakes. And they're fundamentally really sound. You know, they go back to the old thing, I think, that we did as teaching. You know, you step with this foot, and that's the end of the world. That's what you do. You know, or you teach a certain way, and that's why you want it done.
Mm-hmm.
I used to remember we tell them option football. I say, you got the quarterback, okay? So don't think. If you see the ball handed off and you see it in the guy's stomach on the dive, go ahead. But you better not let that quarterback come out. You got him. I don't care, whatever. If he pitches the ball and guy runs for a touchdown, you just be sure that you got him, force him to pitch it or whatever the case is. And we really had to remind our kids because they all want to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the secondary has to know what's going on. And a lot of times it's not only that the option stuff, but it's also the, you know, they look at the schemes in the backfield schemes and the line schemes, and they'll do stuff in reverse. They'll have their guards pulling one way and the play going the other way. And a lot of people do that, but most of it's going to be outside stuff. So the ends and the defensive backs and the people that see a lot of this reverse and stuff, they got to yell. Mm. I mean, if that guy just starts out, they got to start yelling, and, you know, they have their own terminology. But, you know, so there's a lot of changes you make when the play goes on, you know, as far as your linebackers, as far as your secondary, and so forth. But I know up front, we played what we saw. So if that play was a bootleg and we were playing it the wrong, they went opposite of what they were doing, which most of the bootlegs do, we just played what we saw and then reacted out of it. But we knew that the defensive end had responsibility for containment. And most bootlegs are not run with a guard, or sometimes without a guard pulling that way. What they do now is they'll bring their tight end through the backfield and as the ball snapped. And that's one of the things, you know, the end has to read. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's, you know, you can pull your lineman one way, and that fullback a la tight end, mm-hmm. H-back, will can come back and support the quarterback bootlegging out. He can come through the backfield, and you'll still get what you read. What I would do is tell the lineman up front, unless what we call the flash. And if you saw a flash, you know, just be prepared to, you know, get out of there. But you got to play what you see until you see it. So there's so many things you have to do, and that's what Belichick does, is he really looks into your background. He looks into a lot of things. And there's some people that are really good people, but they're screwballs.
Right.
And he's taken them, and when they get around good people that don't mess around, that's what they do. I mean, they're either going to do that or they're going to be out of there. It won't take Belichick to tell them to get out of there. It'll be the players.
Yeah, he'll step in. Coach, I got about 90 seconds here. What's your thoughts on Ndamukong Suh? I thought he was phenomenal yesterday. I'm excited for him to get a chance to play in the Super Bowl and watch him. He's playing as good as he's played in a long time.
Yeah, I think at times there he kind of got a little depressed because he wasn't getting the attention,
sure,
you know, that the other guy was getting, maybe, you know, and that. And, you know, when you get down to this stuff, every game is a Super Bowl. I mean, if you're a pro player. And so he just used his strength, his quickness, and he didn't mess around. You know, and I don't know whether they had schemes set up for him to be more dominant or what. Sometimes they'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
And because everybody's working on the double team and the other guy over there that's the highest paid player on defense in the NFL, I think, or something.
Yeah.
You know, Donaldson, and it may be that because he's getting that, he's getting single blocked a lot, and they may have some penetration stuff set up for him, and he's quick now. I mean, he gets off the ball. So, you know, and better than offensive linemen get off the ball. Mm. And that's why a lot of those defensive linemen are so good. But, you know, I look for him to have a good game. I mean, he's playing for something that he has never been part of, and he wants to leave a legacy in his, you know, with himself and his family and friends and everything that he played in the Super Bowl and won. Mm. And that's kind of where all these guys are going. Sometimes they change their goals a little bit as far as, you know, off the field goals, you know. And mm-hmm. So with friends and family and know what they have to do, you know, they don't want to embarrass them. So I would guess he's one of those guys, and so you'll see this. It'll be a war.
It'll be good. Coach, we'll talk next Monday and get ready for the Super Bowl. Stay warm, and always love spending a few minutes with you. Thanks for the time today.
Okay. Good talking to you.
Take care, Coach.
Stay warm.
You too.
Okay. Bye now.
And now.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. It is recruiting time. We say what's up to Greg Smith, HailVarsity.com, and magazine at Greg Smith HV. And Greg was all over Noah Pola Gates. I mean, I think Greg got a Christmas card. Maybe I'm stretching the truth a bit, but Greg was always chill about the announcement Saturday night. Greg, what's good? How are you?
You know, I did not get a Christmas card, but that would have been nice. It would have been a welcome Christmas card addition to the collection. But things are good. Cold, but very good.
Busy. No, you know, and let me just tell you, man, I lobbied for you to be over on the Big Island Saturday night. And it just, I didn't get in the green light. I was going to go with you, but I mean, I tried to get.
We could have made a road trip of it.
No, I tried to get us over there for, you know, on-site, in-depth, all that good stuff. What is Nebraska getting here with Noah Pola Gates? I know it's Bama. I know it's SC. I know what his pedigree is, but let's go bigger picture here. Let's talk impact. Let's talk strengths, and let's get that together moving forward for Nebraska and a key spot in the secondary.
Yeah, there's a few big picture things here. And I guess first and foremost, Nebraska's getting a fantastic player, right? He's one of the best defensive backs in the country. He showed throughout his film, throughout his high school career, and through, you know, the different All-Star games, his athleticism, which is on an elite level on the back end, so much so that I think at this point the plan is to have him start out at cornerback to start his career instead of safety, also play some nickel, but also have the ability to play safety as well, to be able to mix and match and play all over the place, which tells you about his level of athleticism and how physical he is for his size as well. So first and foremost, Bryce is getting a great player. But then after that, you have to start thinking about the bigger picture and something that has eluded Nebraska in a lot of recent years, it feels like, is trying to build a Polynesian pipeline to the university and try to get more players of Polynesian descent onto the roster. Is it just seems like if you can get a couple on the roster to make folks feel comfortable, it's a close-knit community, that ends up really helping, and they're starting to build that with Baha Vanuku, Noah Pola Gates. Sonny Fanoa was on campus a couple of weeks ago. Matthew Polamau, who's Pola Gates' cousin, is coming on an official visit this weekend, I believe. Yeah, it's this weekend. And then also you have the Arizona connection that's building as well, which might even be a bigger deal, considering Nebraska probably got the two top players in the state of Arizona, or at least two of the top three or four, in Ty Robinson and Noah Pola Gates. They also got Javen Wright, Buddha, who is a top 15 player in the state of Arizona. And then there's a whole host of 2020 players when you look at it, and it's pretty amazing. They've got some real talent down in Arizona, and those guys are taking notice of what's happening up here in Lincoln. Plus, Scottsdale and Phoenix, that area, I don't know if you've been down there, there's a lot of Husker fans in that area, so that always helps as well.
Greg, my folks, they vacation / snowbird it down kind of near Surprise next to the Royal Spring Training. So they're not Scottsdale per se, but they're not far from that region. And they're connected to they're huge Nebraska fans. And I mean, Nebraska was not a stranger in Arizona late 80s, early 90s with some of the defensive backs they got. But doing and, you know, destroying Spurrier in Florida down in the Fiesta Bowl and as many Fiesta Bowls as Nebraska went to. And they didn't always end well against Bobby Bowden. But, you know, you lose to Oklahoma, your reward was to go play Florida State in the freaking right. Fiesta Bowl, right? But Nebraska got so much face time down in Arizona with the Fiesta Bowl, so much face time with a lot of the home-and-home games against Arizona State. I mean, they're there, and Nebraska's gotten the Mike Browns, the Kenny Cheathams, the Eric Heggs, the Prince of Mukamaras out of Arizona in the past, and Arizona kids have always done pretty big things. I mean, I'm able to rattle off four guys, you know, Mike Brown, you know, real well as a Bears fan, Prince is still kicking it, Cheatham was a big-time wideout, and Hegg was a difference-maker at hybrid in that Bo Pelini defense, and now you get Robinson, Pola Gates, and Buddha. That's huge. Toby Wright is a JUCO guy, a Prop 48 guy that was an insanely talented safety for Nebraska. I don't think he was out of Arizona. I think he settled there. Right. Eric Johnson was another Arizona guy, outside linebacker, speed guy. Now he's down in Atlanta. So, I mean, Nebraska, they make hay when they get to Arizona. I want your take here on reality here with these Arizona kids, with Buda Wright, with Robinson, with Paula Gates. Can any of them like vie for a starting spot? Is that too crazy to think?
It's always tough to say they're going to vie for a starting spot. I definitely see Ty Robinson and Noah Paula Gates being in the mix next year for playing time. Okay. Like, I can see that happening, especially Paula Gates, because he's also going to help you on special teams as well. He can also come in sub packages, even though if you really look at it, like, quietly, Travis Fisher has a lot of quality options in his room. It's something I feel like we don't talk enough about. There's always these whispers about, where is Travis Fisher? You don't see him in a lot of pictures with recruits, so people always question that. But he's done a heck of a job this cycle of filling his room. And he has a bunch of guys coming back, especially those two corners. So you already have your two starting corners. But that's going to definitely impact those guys being able to play early. I could see Wright being a redshirt candidate, though, because you've got to figure out what position he ultimately is going to play and what his body is going to be able to handle weight-wise. But Robinson and Paula Gates, I could definitely see playing pretty early.
I mean, get them in. You got the four-game buffer, so to speak, with the redshirt. And just see how they adapt. With Paula Gates, what do you think won out? And I know you've spoken to him, but, I mean, you got Bama, you got SC, you got the Paula Malu factor, where that's his uncle. I mean, this should have been a slam dunk for SC. Not that Nebraska didn't kick butt, take names, making their case, but, I mean, I think of Minkah Fitzpatrick, right? I mean, and that's not a fair comparison because Minkah's first round dude, but I'm just saying body type and athleticism. Paula Gates reminds me of that similar type hybrid. Am I off?
No, I don't think you're off. And I honestly think that going into the future, I think that Paula Gates is an NFL type of prospect. I think he's a big time player. The thing about SC, and this will anger SC fans, and I know it has from just kind of reading around, is that they were not necessarily on him hard from the beginning. Like, if you think about it, Arizona State had kind of always been in the picture, but it was always a long shot because it was Arizona State. And he stated that he didn't grow up an Arizona State fan because they weren't any good. Penn State was a team that he took an official visit to for their whiteout, and they were always kind of in the mix. You talked about Alabama being in it, and then Nebraska really blew him away when he came on his official visit. He told me that he didn't really know what to expect coming into that visit. He was just like, okay, I'll take the visit. But then he got here and he was blown away by Nebraska, by the people and by the coaching staff and what they were building. Ultimately, what won out here for him over these other schools is that he was really impressed with the direction of the program under Scott Frost. And it's really something that we continue to hear over and over again, that these guys believe that Scott Frost is going to be the guy to lead Nebraska back to greatness.
They've got some dudes. I mean, they still got to get bigger, stronger, faster, and survive the Big Ten. But Nebraska's getting some dudes that, and you look at the peer groups that are trying to sign these kids, Paula Gates isn't an offer, but a non-committable offer. He's a guy Nick Saban wants in his secondary. He's a guy Clay Helton wants wearing that maroon and gold at SC. So, and then you look at the same for Ty Robinson. You look at Washington on offense. You look at, of course, Adrian at quarterback. I mean, they're getting some big-time guys that can be difference makers against other skill position spots or other defensive backs or other hybrid dudes. It's incredible. The defensive and offensive line, though, is where you make your money and you win games. Lynn Shift, and tell me about Dylan Jordan. He's an outside backer. He's a pass rusher. He is a guy that would be nice to add to the roster here. We got about 3 minutes. Give me an update on where Nebraska's at, where Coach Frost is with Dylan Jordan.
Well, Coach Frost just left Dylan Jordan's house, so that's where he is at this point. They were down in, what, Pittsburgh, Kansas. Mm-hmm. Him and Shenander were to visit Jordan, and I think Jordan is a real factor to be a part of this class. Like, he was somebody that kind of came onto the radar here over the last couple of weeks, and people didn't really know what to make of it because you knew about Stephen Parker coming into or coming out of the dead period. You knew that Sonny Fanua, JUCO defensive end slash outside linebacker, would visit a couple of weeks ago. But Parker has kind of been a wild card in this whole deal. But he's rising up a lot of people's boards for a reason. If you pop on his film, he's got explosive athleticism. He's just in a really small town, and I don't know if grades were a concern before all of this, and maybe he's gotten this straightened out. But something kept people away from recruiting him for a while, and he's heating up recently. I think he just left TCU, or got back from TCU, took an official visit to Utah as well, a couple of schools known for their defense. So if you're battling those schools for a defensive player, outside linebacker, I think you're in pretty good company there.
Well, and you've got Dylan Jordan going to make his announcement a week from today at 5. You've tweeted that news out, so Nebraska will know. That's pretty good.
He'll take an official visit to Nebraska this weekend.
Yeah,
well.
and then make his call. So Nebraska will likely get the last word, the last moment of influence. Last thought here. Are you surprised that DJ James is with the Ducks?
No. I thought that we were kind of trending that way once he backed off, especially once he backed off from Mississippi State commitment. But even before that visit, I was going to get in some word that it felt like he was an Oregon lean even heading into that visit, even though they picked up an additional defensive back as well this weekend. But, hey, we know this. Dante Williams is a heck of a recruiter, and they had some room to bring in another defensive back. So, no, I'm not really surprised by that. But Nebraska did really want that kid. He's a good player.
Greg, give us an update, man. We'll probably run you down towards the end of the week to get another, you know, check-in. Signing day part two is coming up, and Hail Varsity will be all over that February 6th. What's coming up from you here? About 30 seconds.
Yeah, so coming up here in a little bit, we'll go live with me kind of looking at the outside linebackers we've been talking about. And then here soon this week, I think I'll drop my predictions for the final four slots in the class.
Okay, that'll be good. Follow Greg Smith on HV at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Read him with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Great work with your Q&A with Wandale Robinson in the latest issue too. Greg, appreciate what you're doing, man, and thanks for the time today.
Hey, thanks for the kind words, man. You guys have a great day.
You too, Greg Smith. Awesome work, good stuff with HailVarsity.com. And magazine. I almost screwed it up. Rondale and Wandale, they're working out together, but I'm still okay. It's not quite the LA or San Diego mishap I've been involved with. Danny will tell you about his betting weekend next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for your time. Great to be back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. Will Bauer is in. We always do this fact check weekend, and you know, somebody here in the rooms had an incredible weekend. Danny, lay it out for us. How did the Friday forecast finish? And tell me about your weekend, brother, here when it comes to your friends in the desert.
It was horrendous. That's the short of it. I feel like I got.
Thank you for cleaning it up for radio.
I got just as robbed as the Saints did, arguably.
How so?
Because the call screwed me over too, man.
Okay.
Against
okay.
you, of course. Uh-huh. But no, so yeah.
So we're down to two steaks and two beers now.
Yeah, I think so. You're just going to have a whole buffet in front of you.
Uh-huh.
But so yeah, I had the Saints going. I don't know if you said the Rams would win, but you definitely had them covering.
I had them winning.
Okay.
We can check the tape, and if not, I can Nixon some evidence up here and make the tape sing. No, I picked the Rams.
Okay. Yeah, I just know
28-24,
sure
pretty sure.
All right.
27-24,
so, yeah, props
to you. Something like that.
Your Husker boys bailed you out.
Mm-hmm.
So
I knew they would. It's a difference.
It was a makeup from when the Cowboys screwed you the last week. A
little bit. Yeah. I know. I can't in good faith say, oh, I'm on that Rams wagon. I love watching Sue go primal and smoke people.
Mm-hmm.
He's phenomenal. And I like what the Rams are doing. I don't mind McVay. Rams are fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Gurley's kind of being a chump.
Yeah. He's just not 100%.
But Fat CJ's been okay.
Fat CJ is a man of the people.
He is. I love him. But I like watching Sue lose his mind and go whack people. And from a New England standpoint, I picked New England because I wanted Burkhead and Vincent Valentine to get a shot of the ring. It's nothing against Kansas City. It's nothing against Mahomes. It's no hate or shade mm-hmm. towards Kansas City. I think they're great. I think they're phenomenal. And I think it was great chess between Reed and Belichick. And, I mean, people are, I think, pumping the brakes on their Belichick hate or even their Brady hate because that was pretty miraculous. They got some breaks, yes.
Yeah, like that roughing the passer, that was tough.
That was not cool. But, I mean, New England put together an insane plan to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And if Coach McBride's telling me, you know, Belichick's doing what he's doing with two and three stars, I'm going to believe that.
Absolutely.
I mean, so, and you'll hear that part of the Charlie McBride interview coming up here on the ESPN Lincoln or Hale Varsity Twitter handle. And the full interview is great because McBride goes back a long time with Bill Belichick's dad. Bill Belichick's dad coached at Navy. That's where Bill kind of got his coaching start. The Saban influence also from Belichick. McBride's part of that group that helped kind of pay it forward to some of these guys named Belichick and Saban, to be honest with you. So I love hearing about that from Coach McBride. But, no, I think New England and Burkhead getting in there, making plays. Edelman is an option quarterback playing slot. Gronk is money. And that was an incredible atmosphere for New England to go in. And, I mean, their start was the difference against Kansas City.
Well, then think about that, too. I mean, Andy Reid just pulled, like, typical Andy Reid, especially against Belichick, where he historically has not played well. At halftime, you know, heading into half, he called that timeout, gave the Patriots another chance to go to the end zone. And that touchdown at the end of the half was obviously game-changing when you look back on it. And Andy Reid's challenge on that Chris Hogan catch, that was a phenomenal catch, by the way. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, dude. I mean, you got lacrosse players, you got option mm-hmm. quarterbacks. Gronk's on his seventh kidney, I think, or he's got 14 plates in his body.
Just about.
Brady is that offensive line. How in God's name, if you're Kansas City and you've got that ability as a pass rush crew? I have no problem with New England lining up and gashing them. Yeah, they're going to run the football. But just in the second half, as you think, okay, they're going to keep giving us that strong medicine, you have more of the play action come into it. James White, Burkhead.
Sony Michel.
And Sony Michel, man.
Touchdowns, I think.
That three-headed attack, New England's got a pitch for you and your defense in the running game every time. And for that offensive line with New England to not allow a sack and rarely allow a hurry in that environment, in that weather, is incredible. That would have been like your 1,000-to-1 odds, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that New England's pass rush, it's been up and down, looked so good. Three first-half right. sacks, one monster sack in the second half. And then you get to overtime, and New England just...
And you knew when they won that toss, you're like, this game's over. Brady's just going to Brady at this point.
Do you want the college rules in the NFL for overtime? I would like to see that.
Yeah,
I would love to see that.
You can't have it starting at the 25-yard line,
why
obviously.
Not?
Because it's just way too easy, especially with how kickers are so much better. I think like around the 50 or something like that would be better, you know?
I think 25 is okay because, I mean, it's a real thing in the NFL. You shrink down the red zone. It's tough to score in the red zone.
Yeah, I hear you, but I obviously don't like the overtime rules we have now because you don't get to see Patrick Mahomes getting a chance, you know. But for the people who are complaining about and blaming on that, that needs to stop. Like, look at how it happened in the Saints-Rams
game. Both defenses were dead, and the other part of this, too, New England ran 94 plays.
Oh, yeah, they were killing with the time of possession.
And
the Chiefs had so many chances on that third and 10, like when it was third and 10, long, whatever, to stop them in OT.
They had three straight third and forevers.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get home, and guys made plays, and it was Gronk, it was Edelman, it was Gronk, yeah. and then Rex powered it in, and Rex Burkhead's a superhero, man, not only here at Nebraska, but just how he is towards kids and people. And that is so cool that he got stoned on that fourth and one, didn't get a lot of help, but then they came back to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an accident. You could have given it to Michelle. You could have found a way to get James White, your Super Bowl hero. But don't kid yourself, man. I mean, there's a reason Rex got the carries, because you had half of Nebraska down in the Arrowhead cheering for Kansas City. The other half was cheering for Rex.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an accident. As to why that Burkhead was trusted to carry that football in the fourth quarter, as good as Sonny is, as good as James White is. I mean, think about, okay, Rex, you're fresh, you're quick, you're a tough runner. And Rex was so good at reading some of those blocks and then getting off some of those blocks, making his way through that that front seven of Kansas City. I mean, just an insane day of the NFL.
You know what? The worst part of it for me, there's the point in the night where I could have won, because I had the under for the Chiefs game too. It was 17-7 with like 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter,
right?
Whatever time it was.
I said unders.
Yeah, and I said unders too. I was like, if anything, that's my big play of it, because the temperature. So it was 17-7. Not only does it hit the over, but with that interception, the Chiefs would have covered because they were up by four, and the under would have hit. And then
so you
the penalty,
double dipped it.
Yeah, and then the penalty gets called, and my bank account diminishes. But
well,
that's just the same old song and dance.
We will have a prediction on Nebraska Rutgers here coming up shortly. We'll wind down a Monday, Martin Luther King Monday, here on Hail Varsity Radio. Danny Burke, Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer, Hail Varsity, back with you to say goodbye after this.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Okay, one final time, and I want to remind you, 'tis the season for ice and falls and injuries, and Madonna Therapy Plus can take those away. The AquaTrack is 94 degrees. It's at Madonna Proactive, and it's one way and one form of rehab Madonna Therapy Plus has for you. They take care of you if your son or daughter or you yourself get a concussion, the latest and greatest when it comes to equipment and technology. And we're talking locations that are convenient, 3 in Lincoln, 1 in West Omaha, for Madonna Therapy Plus. MadonnaTherapyPlus.org is where you log on and find out more information when it comes to rehab and getting back into the game of life, or just getting back into it if you're that weekend athlete. Madonna Therapy Plus can make it happen and make you feel so much better. And one of the ways they have it is some of their facility issues, and that issue is the AquaTrack. And what I mean by an issue, they can tell you where to be, how to get there, and what rehab to do. So think about Madonna Therapy Plus, and of course, find your way to Madonna Proactive. Over 140 classes each week for you to get that tailgate body back into tip-top shape. Specials throughout January when it comes to joining, and 6-month sign-up specials for you and associate members. And can dial up Madonna Proactive today, 402-420-0000, MadonnaProactive.org, 56th and Pine Lake. Give them a shout. Take the tour. Amazing facility to go work out and get your health goals into a realistic spot this 2019 year. Danny, we got an 8.5 number. Nebraska at 13-5 and one game under 500 in Big Ten play. Rutgers is 8-9, 1-6 in league play. Their leading scorer is out, dislocated his kneecap 3 games ago. So if he plays, Mr. Miyagi did some OT. Listen, I think Nebraska will make this uncomfortably close. I think they're emotionally spent. I think they'll try and shoot better. I just don't know if they will. I worry about, and history this year has shown that if Nebraska goes into a barn that doesn't have the juice, doesn't have the energy, it affects them. Do they take a step forward with their maturity as a very, very veteran squad in a half-empty bandbox in Piscataway? They'll do enough just to win. You may see some foul trouble. You'll see a better games from James Palmer. If you don't, worry. But Nebraska gets this thing done, and it is a rock fight, 67-60. The win for Nebraska, Rutgers with the cover.
Okay, I'm with you there, too. I think they are emotionally spent. And, you know, Rutgers, this was going to be a tough game coming into, regardless
either
if
way,
they won or
you
not.
You win, can you handle success, you lose. Are you still pouting?
Exactly. So I'm right there with you. I think Rutgers will cover this game. There will be points where you're like, is Nebraska really going to blow this game? But I think they'll come up on top. So give me Nebraska 73-66. And yeah, I think Palmer.
I think Rutgers defense too bad, but I just think Nebraska won't shoot that well.
Yeah, I think Palmer will have a bounce back game, like you said, too. And hopefully they get Thomas Allen going. I'm looking for him to get a breakout game.
Great
again,
story.
Too.
Yeah, great story by Jacob Padilla. Read him on. Thomas Allen's a guy they need to look to as a main option offensively.
Definitely.
Right? I mean, he's at that point, he's probably their best shooter. He needs more than six shots a game. And I know he's not an upperclassman, but do you want to win? Do you want to get better? He's a guy you can ride. He can finish. He can hit threes. He's good off the dribble. He's tough defensively. Use him, por favor. We'll be back at you tomorrow at 4. Will Bauer, good to see you. Danny Burke, you're tremendous. Thanks for tuning in to Hail Varsity.